Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of Strong Tower Radio, West Central Michigan Media Ministries, or its employees.
Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. This is a special edition with Dr. David DeRose. Dr. DeRose is a physician. He's been a pastor and a teacher. Welcome to Strong Tower Radio. We're glad to have you as part of American Indian Living. Welcome to Strong Tower Radio, Dr. DeRose.
It's great to be with you, Tom.
We are in the midst of a crisis, and as a physician, you're on the front line. You see this both through two perspectives. You see it as a physician, but you also see it from your pastoral training. What are you seeing right now, and what is the prescription for us today?
Well, Tom, you're exactly right. I really look at this from more than one perspective, and it's distressing on some levels that people are looking at this current crisis in isolation. And you might say, well, that's what we're all going to do. We're all going to look from our own perspective. But the challenge is, a lot of times I hear people making comments that are really not responsible from the medical end of things. And then I hear medical professionals that are really not taking stock of the serious spiritual ramifications that we find ourselves facing. So I think both of these dimensions are important.
Well, Dr. DeRose, let's start out with a word of prayer. Would you do us the privilege of leading us in prayer?
Be happy to. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much that we're not in this alone. It may seem that way at times. It may seem that way even more right now, as some who are listening today may be just looking at four walls. They're in a room, they're in an apartment, they're in a home, and there's no one else there. But Father, you remind us that you are ever present. And we pray that as we look at practical things we can do to improve our immune systems and to connect with you, you'd help us see that clearly, that we'd leave this show encouraged and strengthened as a result of having really spent time with you. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dr. DeRose, there's a lot of misinformation. If you go on social media and you get three people in a conversation, you'll get three different perspectives. Can you help us out?
First of all, let me defend all those different perspectives. I mean, some of us, myself included, we've been growing in our understanding of this, and I could go so far as to say that everyone is growing in their understanding of what we've called SARS-CoV-2. That's the name we use for the virus. It stands for Severe Acute Respiratory Syndrome, coronavirus, and it's the second time we've seen such a virus. Another virus in the same family, of course, was associated with the SARS outbreak some 17 years ago. So this SARS-CoV-2 virus causing a disease that we call COVID-19 for coronavirus infectious disease that was first identified in 2019 is something that we have no experience with as a human population. And so the medical professionals, as well as the politicians, as well as the other policymakers, everybody is scrambling to try to get up to speed on this. So it's understandable that there will be misinformation. For example, my wife, she's also a physician. We were talking last night about a paper that came out recently in one of the medical journals, kind of a scary paper from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. They actually studied what happens with a sneeze because they say a lot of this stuff about social distancing is based on insights and observations and understandings that people had. You know, we're talking 50, 70, nearly 100 years ago, going all the way back to 1930 and before. And they said, well, let's actually look at what happens with a sneeze. And they map this stuff, and they basically show a plume cloud. They actually have videos that came as a supplement to the medical journal that you could view online, and showing these droplets being transmitted not 3 feet, not 6 feet, but actually over 20 feet. The point that these authors were making is, listen, it's a learning curve for everyone. And some of the arguments are simply because some people are reading newer evidence and others reading older evidence. Just give you another example. Shortly after this coronavirus got the attention of the public, someone was asking me, I was in a meeting with actually with other pastors, and they were asking me for kind of an update on how infectious this virus was, how long it stayed alive on other surfaces. And I told them about a study that had looked at a variety of coronaviruses and was looking at survival times at maybe as long as 7 to 9 days. Well, after that, another paper came out suggesting the survival times were much shorter, a recent paper. And one of the pastors sent this to me, like I'd misinformed people, saying this looks like it only lasts for a day or two. Well, then there was the reports from the Centers for Disease Control. After that, where they found identifiable coronavirus for up to 17 days in that Diamond Princess cruise ship. So after people were all out of there. So this is why it's so confusing. I mean, no one can make up their mind. The experts are all saying different things. Well, the problem, Tom, and the reason why we have these debates on social media and really debates in medical communities and in workplaces is because the science is inexact. It's not precise. It's something that we're growing to understand, and you can always take a different spin on something. One person says, yeah, 17 days they found identifiable virus, but is that virus that could actually transmit disease? They didn't do that part of it. So maybe it would not be infectious. It's just viral elements that are still observable there. So those might sound like strange examples to go into, but to me, the bottom line is going to be the same. The bottom line is if you're not in your own home where you have control over the environment, then you need to assume that when you're going out of your home, that you can be touching surfaces that have potentially infectious virus particles. And that's why the recommendations are being made that they are. You don't touch your face, especially not touching your eyes or nose in particular. A lot of people add mouth, but really it seems the main places, at least from my reading, are eyes and nose. If we're going to give you an infectious disease in the lab, we're going to put some drops of a virus into your nose, and those mucous membranes will be basically the place where the virus enters your body.
I want to share something that's interesting. I was in a subway. There was only carry out. But at the counter there, they say no cash, only credit card. But sometimes they use the reader, but sometimes the person literally takes your card. Well, your card, in my mind, when somebody else touches it, you've just introduced exposure.
You're exactly right. And this is kind of the scary thing about this whole discussion about gloves. And we've seen this in the medical world for years. I can remember I had a bad accident years ago, ended up in the hospital for a number of days, and I remember someone coming into the room. They got gloves on. They're not going to contaminate their skin, but they're changing my garbage, and they're wanting to make my bed and do other stuff. And sometimes people put these gloves on, and they think, well, they can just touch anything now. You're exactly right. If someone's wearing gloves and they make your sandwich, they can't just use those same gloves, take your credit card, swipe it, give it back to you, and then go about making the next sandwich. What they've done is they've just contaminated those gloves. So, yeah, hopefully you don't have some transmissible virus or something else or bacteria, but this is how diseases are transmitted. We've known this for years, and I've tried to educate people on it. Years ago, I came out with a video series called Natural Strategies for Infectious Disease, and I was kidding a group early on into this coronavirus epidemic. I shouldn't say I was kidding them, but I was kind of saying it in a lighthearted way. I said, do you want to know what the worst selling video series or book that I ever wrote, that they were on infectious diseases? Because what happens is when people are just going about their normal daily lives, they don't think about it. And yet in the United States, even if we never had coronavirus, even if this COVID-19 disease never knocked on our doors, the deal is this. Some 4 million Americans every year are going to have food poisoning just from two bacteria, Salmonella and Campylobacter. And the point is, the reason we get these infections is because people are not being hygienic. That is the bottom line cause of a lot of infectious diseases that we see. And most people, up until the last month or two, they just yawned. Oh, yeah, I'm fine. I got food poisoning. Yeah, I've had a cold before. I've had the flu. Yeah, I'm not too worried about it. But now, with the ante being up, now everyone's getting concerned about hygiene. And I would say it's high time, because what we learned from this virus is going to help us in dealing with other transmissible diseases.
Well, I appreciate we've already looked at the conflicting information. I appreciate that perspective, this developing story, the developing knowledge base. We also talked about contamination, and almost every message you hear today ends in wash your hands. Now, let's turn a corner. One thing that I appreciate about you and some of the people that we've had on Strong Tower Radio, they're talking about your other defense, the missing defense, as Steve Wolberg calls it. is the immune system. And you've got kind of a system, a mnemonic, which helps people remember, just like new, start is a mnemonic to talk about 8 laws of health that you hear frequently on Strong Tower Radio. Tell us about your sanctuary system for immunity boosting.
Yeah, this is interesting. I've, of course, been working with things that relate to the immune system for many years. But as I was praying about this current COVID-19 pandemic and what we can share, at least with a Christian audience, with the Christian community, with the Christian world church, if you will, as I was praying, the Lord just impressed me with a theme in the Bible. And the theme is this: from the very beginning, the Bible reveals a God who wants to be personally with people. You read Genesis 1 through 3, and in the beginning, God puts Adam and Eve in this wonderful garden home, and he is physically present with them. If you had any question, you just read down to Genesis 3, and when they sin, they hide from God. You don't hide from a disembodied spirit. God was physically present there in the garden. And when the Bible speaks about God remaking the earth, the new earth, and we read about it in Revelation 21 and 22, God is physically present with his people again. What's so interesting, though, Tom, is in the heart of the Bible, if you look at the Bible's history, the Bible spans about 6,000 years of history from the beginning of creation till our time today. So if you want to speak of this being the biblical timeline, of course, the Bible isn't being written today, but I'm speaking of its relevance to humanity. So some 6,000 years, in the right about in the center of that time, somewhere, you know, probably around 1,500 years after creation, if you use a Bible timeline, God is leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. And in Exodus chapter 25, he says, "Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." And it's this idea that God is wanting to again demonstrate his physical presence with his people. And so there's this sanctuary system that is set up. It starts with a wilderness tabernacle, this traveling temple, if you will. Ultimately, it would be a permanent temple in Jerusalem. But what's so interesting is I believe the sanctuary concept is at the heart of a healthy immune system because it's founded on us having a confidence that we have a loving creator, a loving savior who we can trust. And as I was thinking about that and thinking about a memory device for natural immune boosting strategies, I said, you know, the word sanctuary with its 9 letters, S-A-N-C-T-U-A-R-Y, each of those letters stands for a different element that can help boost our immune system. And interestingly, just like the Bible, where the beginning and the end talked about a God who's physically present with his people, and right in the middle, there's this sanctuary service that God says, "I want to personally be with my people." So it is with this mnemonic. The beginning and end of the sanctuary mnemonic is emphasizing personal relationship with God, and so is the middle element. And we may want to walk through that, share how it ties in with the modern science as well.
Wonderful. Let's get started. S for stress management, safety, and security.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So that first S, as I jotted down some of these ideas, I put a couple of Bible verses down. We'll mention those, and then I'll walk you through some of the science. So in Psalms chapter 11, David begins by saying, "In the Lord put I my trust." I'm putting my trust in the Lord. And then as we read down through the next few verses, it says, "The Lord is in his holy temple, his sanctuary in heaven. The Lord's throne is in heaven." So as we're speaking about the trustworthy God, we see him in the sanctuary. And then I love Psalm 32, verses 7 and 8, where the psalmist says, "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. You will compass me about with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye." So, Tom, these verses and many, many others are basically telling us that we can have confidence even in the midst of a pandemic, even in the midst of a lost job, even in the midst of wondering whether I can get some of the basic necessities in life. I can trust my Savior. I can trust my Creator. Now, here's the interesting thing. Here's the immune side of this. We've known for years that if you put yourself in a situation where you're stressed on a prolonged basis, we're not just talking about 10 minutes when, you know, a tiger jumps out of the bushes. Hopefully, there aren't too many tigers jumping out of bushes around where you live. But sure, I mean, that would be appropriate, okay? We need a stress response if something, you know, shocks us. But most of us ramp up that stress system and we keep it ramped up. We're listening to the news. We're listening to the death counts. We're listening to, you know, this and that. And we're getting stressed out, chronic stress. Chronic stress, what it does is it ramps up a variety of hormones in the body, but one of them is cortisol. Now, I'm going to ask you a personal question. You don't have to answer it on air, but have you ever gotten a cortisone shot?
Not many. I can't recall one.
Okay. Well, a lot of folks have said, yeah, I've had cortisone shots. You know, I had a bad knee. I remember a patient I saw a while back. His knee was just badly swollen. He ended up at an orthopedic surgeon's office, and that orthopedic surgeon gave him a cortisone shot. Now, do you know what happens, Tom, when someone gets a cortisone shot in a bad joint or an inflamed joint?
Does it suppress something?
That's right. It suppresses the inflammation, and it will often help the pain, often help the swelling. So this is desirable when there's an undesirable level of inflammation. The problem is inflammation is part of what we use to fend off infectious agents, that inflammatory process. In fact, cortisol, this family of compounds, we call them glucocorticoids, that's the medical term for them, they actually turn off genes that make antiviral compounds. In other words, you ramp up cortisol, whether it's with a shot or whether you're chronically stressed, and it's going to make it more difficult for you to fight off viruses and bacteria. So here's the message. I'm not trying to stress your listeners out by telling them they should be concerned about how much stress they're under. I mean, that would be counterproductive. But the point is to say, hey, if I'm feeling stress, I can go to the Lord. I can trust the Lord with my problems. I can press close to Jesus as my Savior. This is powerful. And here's the real interesting thing about it. If you look at the research, medical research has shown that just because you go through something very stressful, even traumatic, it doesn't have to push you into what a lot of us have heard called PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. Prolonged stress, if we handle it correctly, saying it handled correctly, I don't want to blame people who have chronic stress issues or PTSD. That's not my point. And it's not saying they did anything wrong. But there are often things that we can do that can help us take chronic stressors and use them to promote growth. We call it post-traumatic growth. Others speak about spiritual transformation. So what I would tell people is if you're feeling stressed, look at this as a call to press closer to God. Like you mentioned, Tom, get closer to the Bible, study more, pray more, and God can give you an experience that causes you to grow and strengthens you rather than overwhelms you.
Well, listeners, you've just heard the introduction in our first third of our special report with Dr. David DeRose. He's known to many of our listeners with the American Indian Living and other programs played on Strong Tower Radio. We'll be back after this break.
This is JB, host of Joy in the Morning. My friends, would you like to help spread the news of God's true character? Would you like to help spread the news of Jesus' soon return? People are dying for the lack of knowledge of Jesus. And one good way to help spread the news is through Strong Tower Radio. If you would like to help support this ministry, why not go to our secure website, www.strongtowerradio.org. There you'll find two choices. You can have a one-time donation, or you can join my wife and I and hundreds of others in becoming a covenant partner and making a regular monthly donation. May the Lord bless you as you prayerfully consider supporting Strong Tower Radio with your prayers and financial support. Thank you for listening to Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
Welcome back, folks. This is Tom Majeure, and as my guest, I have Dr. David DeRose of American Indian Living. He's a physician. He's trained as a pastor and as a teacher. Welcome back, Dr. DeRose.
It's great to be with you, Tom.
We started out talking about the confusion that we have out there, different things being said back and forth. Dr. DeRose basically said we're on a learning curve. Everybody, including the physicians, the politicians, everybody's on a learning curve. That's why there's some confusion. But there's lessons to be learned. We talked about some of the hygiene issues. And then he shared with us this mnemonic, which is the sanctuary, and that God personally wants to be close to us. He cares about us. He walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. He formed Adam and Eve in the garden with his very own hand. And then he wants to walk with us once more at the end of time. And he walked in the middle throughout history. He came as a baby and to be with us and to save us from our sins. We introduce the concept of sanctuary with stress management. And now we're talking the second letter, A for activity. Dr. Rose, explain the importance of activity.
Activity is really fascinating. It is central, really, to much of what God has planned for us. If you look at Genesis chapter 2, in the beginning, God gave humankind a physical activity program. It was, as the King James Version put it, to dress and to keep the garden, to care for the Garden of Eden. They were given physical work.
So they weren't just visitors. They weren't up in the stands watching this whole thing. They were down on the field participating in the activity.
Yeah, I mean, it's a beautiful picture. It really is. And you got it exactly right. They were actually participants in this creative work that God had made. So they were actually there physically active. And what's so beautiful, Tom, is God has a picture of physical activity in the new earth. You read Isaiah 65, verses 17 and onward. When it speaks of God creating a new heaven and a new earth, he says they'll build houses, they'll inhabit them. They will plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. So it's not just spirits floating around on clouds in eternity. It's people doing real things, being physically active.
Very good. What does science say about this?
Yeah, and this is what we really want to talk about, because the science really shows that physical activity is necessary for optimal immune functioning. One of my favorite studies that looked at this was published about a decade ago by Dr. David Niemann and colleagues. They looked at over 1,000 men and women. These were people between the ages of 18 and 85 out there in North Carolina. Dr. Niemann at the time, and I believe he still is at one of the universities out in the Carolinas. And it was really interesting. They looked at people who were exercising regularly, getting aerobic exercise, you know, using their large muscle groups, 5 or more days per week. They compared them to individuals who were getting little or no exercise. That means at most they were getting out 1 day a week, many of them less. They found just by doing that, just by getting that physical activity, they decreased by 43% their cold and flu symptoms. Why this is so important is because what we know about this novel coronavirus that we're struggling with as a world right now is that it's not just an issue of avoiding it. That's clearly the best. But if you're exposed, your immune system can fight it off. Many people are developing what we call asymptomatic infections. They don't get sick, but they get the virus. Same in this study. Doesn't mean these people didn't get exposed to the cold or the flu or even have an infection with influenza. They just did not show the symptoms. So the point is, if we want to boost our immune system, we need regular physical activity, but one corollary, and that is don't overdo it. The medical research shows that overexercise will also suppress the immune system. So I tell people, listen to your body. If you've not been exercising, gradually work into it. And if you have any questions about the safety of exercise, by all means, reach out to your doctor and make sure you don't do something that you're going to regret.
Dr. DeRose, what we learned is that A is for activity, and that activity can decrease your flu and cold symptoms by 43% as long as you don't overdo it.
Exactly.
Let's go on to the end. So the first one was stress management. The second one was activity. The third one is nutrition. What does nutrition do in this model?
Yeah, so we're in the third letter of the word sanctuary. We're looking at sanctuary as to how these are keys to building our immune system. And you're exactly right. So first stress management, then activity, now nutrition. One of the more fascinating people I visited with over the course of my medical practice was a fellow by the name of Dr. Steve Provancha. Some years ago, I met Dr. Provancha when he was practicing at one of the Kaiser Permanente facilities out in California. Steve had, shortly before our visit, published a paper, a fascinating paper. And what it was actually looking at what happened when people ate animal products, when they ate red meat, when they ate poultry, what happens? It's really interesting. What Pravancha and his co-authors suggested is that the hormonal responses to eating flesh foods suggest that your body thinks your own tissues are breaking down. So look at it this way, Tom. If your bloodstream is flooded with a mix of amino acids, these are protein building blocks, that are in roughly similar proportions to your own tissues, how would the body know that you did not just have some kind of traumatic event? And this was really Pravancha said. He said, you look at what happens when you eat these flesh foods and your cortisol levels go up. Well, now this should be sounding familiar to those who've been with us from the beginning of the show, because if you ramp up cortisol, that actually tamps down inflammation and actually hurts us as far as trying to fight off viral and other infectious illnesses. So Pravancha was saying, hey, this is not our friend eating the generous serving of steak. We'd be better off putting our energies into eating more plant foods. What I find so fascinating, we're talking about how this correlates with God's original plan to be with humanity. Well, in the very beginning, in Genesis 1, verse 29, God gave humankind a diet that was wholly plant-based. No animal products, no sin, no death. Same in the new earth. There's going to be no death. We're not going to be having lamb and fish in the new earth. It is basically going to be Eden restored. Let me tell you one other thing. Some people start getting worried and they say, well, if I go on a, you know, more of a vegetarian type diet, I mean, I'm not going to get some things that help my immune system, like zinc and selenium and things like that. Well, I'm not doubting that you could choose a vegetarian diet that could be deficient in certain compounds. But let's put it this way. If you're interested in selenium, a lot of people have heard about, and selenium and zinc are important for immune health. If you're interested in getting more selenium, you can get that in things like Brazil nuts, garlic, mushrooms, broccoli, that family. We sometimes call them the cruciferous vegetables. They can have liberal amounts of this selenium. But if you're looking at zinc, beans and nuts are some excellent sources of zinc. So you don't have to feel like you've got to go to the supplement store and use the last few dollars you've got because you're out of work to get a bunch of supplements. Eat these healthy foods and avoid the animal products, and the evidence is your immune system will work better.
So the sanctuary mnemonic is stress management and safety, activity, N for nutrition, and now C for comprehensive environment, cleanliness, and purity. You're going to have to explain that one.
Okay, yeah, I know that's kind of a mouthful. So we're focusing on a comprehensive environment. And again, remember, we're connecting with both the original creation, God's recreation in the new earth, and we're seeing that there are parallels in the sanctuary service that God gave there in the wilderness and that was then ultimately displayed in the temple. So if you think about that sanctuary service, for example, there's a lot written there about purity and hygiene and environment. So a lot of what we've talked about in dealing with coronavirus, dealing with COVID-19, is talking about the environment. It's trying to keep the environment clean. You know, I've heard a lot of things about people talking about, well, not only keeping your personal environment clean, but also your home environment. But it's a lot more than just things that you can do. It's things that you can take advantage of. Some years ago, Tom, you may realize that I was living in New England. I was oftentimes lecturing on health topics. I was doing adult education classes. And I would talk with people. I'd say, you know, you folks that grew up here in Maine, did you have to do anything in the winter months that was different than in the summer? And as the discussion would progress, sooner or later, someone in the room or multiple people in the room would say, yes, we had to take cod liver oil. I found it very interesting because what we now know about cod liver oil is it is a rich source of vitamin D. And the research suggests that if our vitamin D status is low, it impairs our immune system. So I'm not saying that people have to take cod liver oil today, but what I am saying is this. If you do not have adequate vitamin D levels, your immune system will not work the way it should. And if you live in the northern states, basically you cannot make adequate amounts, some would even say any significant amounts of vitamin D in the winter months. And the deal then is to take a vitamin D supplement. And usually most people need between 2,000 and 5,000 international units a day to get their level up and to keep it up.
Very good. Are there any other elements that we need to look at besides sunshine and vitamin D?
There are. There's other aspects to environment that are really important, Tom. One of the ones that I've been really interested in lately has to do with research on the survival of viruses. So a lot of us have heard these discussions in the media. People are asking, well, will this coronavirus become less infectious as we get closer to the summer months? The reason people are asking this is because there are many studies of viral survival, and many viruses do poorer in warmer, more humid air. But having said that, there are serious questions about whether it's going to make a huge difference with this particular virus. But let me put it this way. There are other things that happen in the winter that may explain increased rates of viral illness. Other researchers are looking at sociologic and environmental factors. For example, in colder months, people tend to congregate indoors, and they often have less or limited ventilation. For example, windows in a home would typically be shut in the winter months. Here's my recommendation. Keep fresh air circulating through the rooms of your house. Even if you've got the fire burning, the heater on, whatever, keep some fresh air circulating through your environment. Negatively charged air, that's what we find out in the fresh outdoor air, tends to have more of a negative charge. Those negatively charged air ions actually have been shown to decrease the risk of viral transmission in animal models. And beside that, if you're breathing that good quality air, it helps the tiny hairs in your lungs, we call them cilia, to work better. And those are very important for our lung defenses.
You know, Dr. David, my wife and I heard this, and this is to be one of the health things. So we had forgotten and started closing our windows at night. Now we have our windows open at night, so we're following your advice.
Great, great. Well, it's not just my advice. A lot of wise people over the years have made these connections, but it is something that's easy to forget. It gets cold out, and you're trying to keep as warm as possible. And, you know, some people think, well, we're being environmentally conscious because we don't want to waste fuel. But really interesting, just a side light on this, is that the second leading cause of lung cancer in America is radon. When we lived in Maine, for example, before we moved into the house that we bought, we had to check for radon very high levels. They had to put a system in, an expensive system, to get the radon out of the water and the air that was in our home. Now, cheap solution for radon abatement. I'm not saying this is necessarily adequate in every situation, but just keeping more ventilation in your home. That helps to vent out that radon, as well as giving you those good, healthy, negative ions and having those antiviral and immune-boosting benefits.
What about humidifiers? Does that help or does that hinder?
Well, it's really a great question. A lot of people, if they're just using a humidifier that they're not keeping very clean, there are studies showing actually people with more infectious diseases using humidifiers. But there's also research showing that if you use a humidifier and you keep it clean, humid air can actually decrease virus survival, and it can help your mucous membranes, the lining cells in your windpipes and in your lungs, moist, and allows them to work better. So you say, well, how can I get the best of both worlds? Some years ago, I was talking with a physician who came up with what I thought was a pretty novel strategy. He was looking at these humidifiers. They got these little parts and stuff that can get, you know, mold and other stuff in them. And he said, hey, I just started having my patients bring their crock pot into their bedroom at night, puts enough water in it that it's not going to evaporate completely, and turn the crock pot on low heat. It will keep moisture in the air of the room. And he found it very helpful in decreasing, in his experience, infectious diseases among his patients.
Well, I'm even wondering, we have a wood stove, and we put a pot of water on it, that would have the same positive effect as the crock pot would.
You've got it. You've got it. Exactly right.
Let's talk about cigarette smoking. That's a pollutant.
Yeah, it really is. So we're talking about environment. So this C under our sanctuary mnemonic, trying to have the best immune system, has to do with a comprehensive environment. And I know everybody's heard that, you know, smoking's not good for their health. Just saw a report just came out looking at the current coronavirus. If you want to increase your likelihood of having serious problems with the coronavirus, you want to smoke. So if you have been contemplating suicide, you don't want anyone to know that you actually took your life, just keep smoking and don't practice social distancing and all. Let yourself get the infection and succumb to it. Well, I'm not recommending that. And I know some people are saying, well, Dr. DeRose, that's the best idea I've heard because I'm really depressed. No, God has a better plan for you. He's trying to give you an optimistic outlook, but he doesn't want you killing yourself either. And even if you feel your life isn't worth that much, you're worth an incredible amount to God. And beside that, what about other people? If you get infected with the coronavirus, you can infect them. And if your own life ends, you're not going to be able to help all those people the Lord has planned for you to be a blessing to over the rest of your lifespan. No matter how bad it looks today, I just want to give people that hope, Tom. And it really leads us into the T in our sanctuary mnemonic.
Yes, it does. And the T is Thanksgiving, but we've got to go to a break. And you know, Thanksgiving, Dr. Rose, is my favorite holiday. So after the break, we get to take up something that is really good. So stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back.
The Bible and God's character are under attack like never before. Here at Strong Tower Radio, we are proud to hold up the Bible as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We believe the Bible is the Word of God and contains the good news of God's character and His great plan of salvation for mankind. If you know and believe this to be true, won't you help Strong Tower Radio proclaim the truth about our God and His Word, the Bible? To do that, go to www.strongtowerradio.org, and there, on our secure website, you will find a donate button. Click on that and give as the Lord directs. Thank you for listening and supporting Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
Welcome back, folks, to Strong Tower Radio today's special edition with Dr. David DeRose of American Indian Living and other important programs that we air on Strong Tower Radio. He's my guest today. We're looking at things in the context of the coronavirus, and we're at the midpoint, the T of the mnemonic, Thanksgiving. And so we're going to turn it back to Dr. DeRose. What does Thanksgiving have to do with this mnemonic?
Well, we're talking about ways to boost our immune system, like we've been emphasizing, Tom. And the Bible has so much to say about Thanksgiving. But remember, we're connecting things to the beginning and the end of the Bible and the sanctuary, how God wants to physically be present with people. In Revelation 19, there's this picture at the end of time where it says there's this voice of mighty thunderings and these alleluias that are being spoken. And the redeemed are saying, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife hath made herself ready. Now, here's the deal. Thanksgiving is health-giving and it is immune-enhancing. There was a great study published not all that long ago by Dr. Katja Reinhart and colleagues, and they looked at individuals who had some of the worst hands dealt to them as far as chronic stress. They were children that went through early life trauma. We sometimes speak about these adverse childhood experiences. And these individuals, it's been studied, well studied, are prone to all kinds of health problems, immune system problems, cancers, etc., throughout their life. But Reinhart and her colleagues found that one factor that could tamp down those negative effects was thanksgiving or gratitude. And they looked at the level of gratitude that people had, and they found that that could actually impact even chronic stress. So my message to your listeners, Tom, is this. Doesn't matter what you're going through. Doesn't matter how bleak it looks. You may have lost a loved one with this COVID-19 pandemic. You may have lost a job. Your finances may look very uncertain. But God wants you to look at things that you can be thankful for. Rejoice that you're a child of the King. Rejoice that God has a plan for your life. Rejoice that no matter how bad things look now, God has a bright future for you. Just imagine if Daniel, when he was taken prisoner by the Babylonians on that long march to Babylon, had taken his own life. Or imagine if Joseph had killed himself when he was in his cell. The whole point is it can look really bad now, but God's plans are unchanged. So let's cultivate a spirit of thanksgiving.
Amen. The next one is you, useful work. How does that fit into our formula?
Well, it's interesting. We talked earlier about God giving Adam and Eve work to do in the garden, and we were focused on activity, physical activity, and how that impacts our immune system. But useful work, this idea of having a purpose in life, is so incredibly important. Here's the deal. If you don't feel there is a reason for living, it actually makes it hard to live, and it makes it hard for your immune functioning to be as good as it should be. Here's something interesting, Tom. Researchers have looked at different ways to measure well-being. And I don't want to go through all the technical science too much, but they talk about a hedonic form of well-being. You know, some people have heard hedonism. You know, it's mainly things that bring pleasure to you. And of course, our lives should be pleasurable in a healthy way. The Bible says God wants to give us the desires of our hearts. But there's a deeper level of well-being that researchers talk about. They call it eudaimonic well-being. And if you look in a medical dictionary, it'll say this eudaimonic well-being results from striving toward meaning and a noble purpose beyond simple self-gratification. In other words, what we're talking about, this type of well-being is focused on having a purpose, having a meaning in life. And they've actually studied this. People that have higher levels of this eudaimonic well-being, this positive outlook associated with what? Useful work, meaning, and purpose. They actually find that their immune systems are better. Their genes that are used to fight infection are turned on, and the genes that make inflammation in a bad state, those genes are turned off. So what I tell people, if you're dealing with multiple stressors, have a God-given sense of purpose. You say, well, how can I? I'm out of work. Pray about what God wants you to do. I've been encouraging people here in my neck of the woods, Tom. I don't know if you've heard about it, but this series that John Bradshaw is going to be doing, it's called Hope Awakens. It's going to be a nationally broadcast on the internet. I'm telling people, if you don't have any other purpose, start sharing with people about these meetings. Watch the meetings in your home. Have them watch them in their home, and then call them on the phone and say, what did you learn? There's all kinds of practical things people can do. Invite people to listen to a show on Strong Tower Radio and then call and discuss it. You say, that doesn't sound like a lot of meaning and purpose, but it really is if you're connecting with people and encouraging them.
Do you know, I have to share a personal experience. I was working in a job. I was making much more money than I do at Strong Tower Radio, many times more, but I was unhappy. And I was on a mission trip. And I'm working in Mexico, building a church in the hot sun, almost having heat stroke. And I all of a sudden it hit me, I'm the happiest I've been in weeks when I'm serving other people. Let's move on to the A of, that word is, I can't even explain. You'll have to say it for me, Dr. DeRose.
It's abstemiousness, okay? Abstemiousness. It's an old term, Tom. It's derived from the word to abstain, the verb to abstain. And some people have heard another old word that's often used in a similar context, and that is temperance. But these concepts are fundamentally different than a more commonly discussed concept today, which is moderation. So a lot of people say, oh, moderation in everything, moderation in everything. Well, the problem is you don't want to be moderate in things like alcohol and caffeine that actually imbalance the immune system. You want to abstain from those things. There are some other things that are worth abstaining from. And by the way, this is a biblical concept. You can read about it in many contexts. But God, in the beginning and in the new earth, He's removed all the things that are harmful. He didn't create them in the beginning, and He's removed them in the new earth. And it's the same in the sanctuary system. People were to abstain from certain things, and you'll find many statements, 1 Peter 2:11, for example, where he tells us that we should abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. So let me bring this home. Other things that we should be avoiding, in addition to the things that I mentioned just very quickly, like alcohol and caffeine, sugar, refined sugar, suppresses the immune system. Male sex hormones. Some people are scratching their heads and saying, boy, how could a bodybuilder get COVID-19 and die? Well, we hear a lot of things like this. You know, a young person I'm concerned about the frequency at which these supplements and even illicit male sex hormones are being used by people in athletics and in just trying to bulk up. And you really want to avoid these things, especially now, because there's research showing that higher testosterone levels actually cause poorer ability to fight viruses. And this may be the explanation. If you look at the data, doesn't matter where you look, whether it's China, US, Italy, it seems like men are doing worse when they're exposed to this coronavirus. And part of it may have to do with those male sex hormones. So if you're doing things to, quote, try to boost your testosterone, this is a time to really have second thoughts about that. The last thing I'll mention in this category, Tom, is fasting. Fasting, especially protein restriction, has been shown to elevate compounds in the body that actually have direct antiviral effects. One of them is a compound called GCN2. It actually helps your body fight viruses. So it's not a bad idea to reconnect with that biblical concept of periodic fasting.
Well, that's good to know. What about abstinence from alcohol, caffeine, and sugar?
Yeah, you're exactly right. Like I've mentioned, you know, all of these things have adverse immune effects. Years ago, I was so forcibly reminded about alcohol when we actually saw a patient come into the hospital, seemed to be what I would say today, you know, relatively young person. You'll know my age when I tell you this guy was in his 60s, but you know, that's relatively young in my book. And there was nothing we could do for him. No antibiotics, nothing, came in with a bad pneumonia. And turned out, we learned his story, he was an alcoholic. Even lesser levels of alcohol imbalance the immune system. And we see this very clearly with cancer rates. Any alcohol at all, this is what researchers are telling us, is a risk factor for cancer. And we know how much cancer and the immune system are related. When it comes to caffeine, just to illustrate that a little bit more, because I know you didn't want me probably just to slip that one in and people say, oh, I couldn't be because I need my caffeine. Here's the deal. Caffeine, the way it works is it ramps up stress hormone levels. That's how it gets you going. And those stress hormones, like we've talked about, undermine your immune system. So caffeine is really not your friend. This is a great time if you're not working as many hours, if you're off work. Hey, get to bed early, get up at a reasonable time, don't use the alarm clock, don't reach for the coffee, develop a new habit of caffeine-free living.
You know, it's come to my attention that caffeine is the drug of choice of our society today and growing.
It's scary when you look at some of the effects of caffeine, and I know a lot of people want to say it's innocuous, but a few years back, I collaborated on a book called 30 Days to Natural Blood Pressure Control, and we took a close look at caffeine and what the medical research showed, and if you've got high blood pressure, you're raising your blood pressure by using caffeine. I wrote a book more recently called The Methuselah Factor, looking at optimal blood fluidity, and we found that if you're using caffeine, you're impairing your blood fluidity, and when you do that, a whole host of things don't work as well. It's not just your immune system that pays a price. So bottom line is caffeine may help you wake up in the morning, no question about it. There are other ways you can do that more healthfully. Get a good walk in, get plenty of sleep at night, and you won't need the caffeine.
So we learned from the A's that there are some significant things that we can do during this COVID crisis, and why stop with the COVID crisis? This is good for your health in general. But the next one is R, which is rest, and Americans. We talked with Pastor Dan Rocker and did an interview with him on rest, and it is amazing. There's things that are still coming out about the importance of rest, even though we've had it through our whole creation of over 6,000 years, we're still learning about the importance of rest. It's cutting edge.
No, it's crazy. Research just keeps getting published on this, and it seems like we're slow learners. And I know so many things can encroach into those sleeping hours. You know, as a physician, a pastor, teacher over the years, and as a parent, there's things that happen, no question. And maybe that's the first message. Don't get stressed out if something happens that interrupts your sleep, okay? You know, make the best of it. You know, if your child can't sleep, and wait, don't scream at the kid and say, I need my rest or I'm going to get COVID-19, or if I die, it's going to be your fault. But no, so we're talking about trying to make a priority of sleep, but we realize at times you won't be able to get the sleep you maybe want. Researchers back in 2006 published a paper where they looked at what happened to 30 volunteers when they cut their sleep short. So they first studied them getting 8 hours of sleep per night, then they cut them back to 4 hours of sleep. And they looked at what happened to their hormonal mechanisms that are involved in inflammation and immune defense, and their immune system really took a hit. A few years after that, Dr. Sheldon Cohen and colleagues, they did a very elegantly designed study to ensure that over 150 people had no exposure to common cold viruses other than what they were giving them. They actually isolated these people and quarantined them. They didn't actually have a disease. They quarantined them for 5 days. Then they gave them these inoculations of rhinovirus, one of the common cold viruses, put these drops into their nose. They looked at what happened. And those who were getting more than 8 hours of sleep per night did the best. If a person just got less than 7 hours of sleep, we're not talking just four, we're talking less than seven, compare them to those getting more than 8 hours a night. Those with less than 7 hours were roughly three times more likely to come down with a cold than those getting more than 8 hours a night. And the point is, again, everyone's sleep needs can vary, but get the sleep you need, get rid of that alarm clock, get to bed early, and then you don't have to worry about whether it's 7.5 hours you got or 8.5. Just get what you need, get up when you're rested.
Well, Dr. Rose, we're coming in for a landing. We're on Y for yearning and hope, and then you've got a conclusion. So bring us home.
Yeah, so yearning and hope. Hebrews 11, that great chapter on faith, speaks about the thing that sustained our patriarchs, that enhanced their faith, was longing for that better country, that new earth that we talked about in Revelation 21 and 22. There's many other verses that talk about the power of yearning, power of cultivating hope, especially when things look pretty adverse. Interesting study done in Kentucky. Two researchers recruited 124 first-year law students, and they looked at whether they had a positive expectancy, whether they were yearning for something good or whether they were kind of dreading being in law school. You know, what's their future going to be like? Those who had the most positive outlook, the most positive hopeful expectations, they had this attitude of yearning for something better, they found they had the best immune functioning.
Awesome. So what is the lesson to be learned?
Well, the message to be learned is that really the biblical framework that's founded in a God who wants to personally connect with people is still powerful today. It's not just a message that I believe we need, Tom, spiritually as believers, that God does want to physically be with us. He doesn't want to just encourage us. He doesn't just want to help us cultivate thanksgiving and gratitude and meaning and purpose and having a healthy outlook. But God is interested in our physical health as well. And all these things work hand in hand. So he does point us to practical lifestyle practices. But really, those healthy lifestyle practices are founded in really a biblical perspective that can be summarized in this single word, sanctuary, which is really talking about a God who longs to be with us, who longs to deliver us from all our fears.
Thank you very much, Dr. DeRose. Strong Tower Radio is here to help our listeners. If you have any questions, please call the radio station or go on our website. And if you want to learn more about Sanctuary Health, Dr. DeRose, do you have a resource where they can reach out to you?
Yes, we've got a whole menu, if you will, of free resources, as well as our books and videos that you can take advantage of by simply going to our website, which is compasshealth.net. So compass, like giving you direction, we're directing you to health. And I tell my Christian friends it's .net because you're supposed to be fishers of men. So compasshealth.net, that will give you everything you need.
Dr. DeRose, thank you so much for introducing the sanctuary concept to us in boosting our immune system. Thank you very much. And we will be listening to American Indian Living with more interest now that we've got a chance to talk with you one-on-one. Thanks so much, Dr. DeRose.
It was a privilege, Tom.
Listeners, thank you for being a part of Strong Tower Radio's ministry. If you have any desire to help us and further the mission, please go to strongtowerradio.org. God bless. We'll be right back.
our land. Please grant us peace today and strengthen all who lack the faith to call on thee each day. Heal our land. Please keep us safe and free. Watch over all who understand the need for liberty. Heal our land, heal our land, and guide us with thy hand. Keep us ever on the path of liberty. Heal our land, heal our land, and help us understand that we must put our trust in thee if we would be free. Heal our land. Please help us find our way, for in thy word we find our strength if we look up each day. Heal our land and fill us with thy love. Keep us upon the path of truth that comes from heaven above. Heal our land, heal our land, and guide us with thy hand. Keep us ever on the path of liberty. Heal our land, heal our land, and help us understand that we must put our trust in thee if we would be free. Protect us by the power of thy rod, and keep us as one nation under God. Heal our land, heal our land, and guide us with thy hand. Keep us ever on the path of liberty. Heal our land, heal our land, and help us understand that we must put our trust in thee.